incorruptible word of the living God. Amen. The Bible says every scripture is God-inspired. God breathed upon men of old by the Holy Spirit to write the Bible in what you and I have in our hands. And so I want you to lift up your Bible. Let's make our confession. Come on, everybody just lift it, wave it up and make the devil mad. If you don't have a Bible, look on with somebody. But, you know, we use these things, don't we? These are our manuals. These are our handbooks. Say, let's make our confession together. Say, I believe. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, I believe everything my Bible says. It does not matter what the devil says. It does not matter what people say. It does not matter what my circumstances say. Tonight, I am a believer. And I do believe I will receive absolutely everything that the Spirit of the Lord has for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now give the Lord a big shout of praise. Come on, we're ready. We're ready, Lord. We're ready. If you would, open your Bibles. I tell you what, let's look at Mark chapter 11, then we'll go to Mark chapter 4, okay? Your Bible ought to just almost fall open there to Mark chapter 11. We're studying the subject of faith. If you don't have a Bible, we'll look on with somebody. We've been several weeks now talking about believing with the heart. And when we talk about faith, if you're new here tonight, remember, when we talk about Bible faith, we're not talking about where we go to church or what denomination. We're not talking about whether we're a Baptist or a Methodist or an Episcopalian or a Catholic. We're talking about believing God. Faith is believing God's word. Because the only way you're going to receive the promises of God is to believe His promises, to believe what His Word said. So His Word is important. Amen? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of the Lord. So we have to put ourselves, again, in a position to get the Word of God into our heart. And we've been teaching here for a few weeks now on not doubting in our heart. And this is what Jesus had to say. Let's look at the scripture, and then we'll go to Mark chapter 4. He says in verse 23, he said, "For assuredly I say to you," Mark 11, 23. Maybe you can put it up on the screen, Vic. It says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain." I like when he says whoever, because that qualifies me. And he says to this mountain. How many of you know what the mountain means? The mountain means a struggle, an obstacle, something that stands in your way between you and God and between you and success or victory. The Bible has ordained you and I to walk in the covenant of blessing. Amen. Amen. You have been blessed in order to be that blessing. And sometimes there's opposition that stands in our way. Come on. Sometimes there's issues and all these things, as we begin to see how the Word of God works, come for one purpose, and that's to take the Word of God out of our heart. But the devil's a liar, amen? And we're not going to let him succeed in any area of our life. So he says, now this is Jesus. He says, "Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart." Have that phrase underlined. Does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. So, it's important that we see this very important principle of not doubting in our heart. Because it's not enough just to read the Word of God or to know what a Scripture says. We've got to believe it in our heart and make sure that there's no doubt in there. Amen? Now go over to Mark chapter 4, because Jesus taught that if we speak to these things in our life that come against us, we can command them to be removed and they will be removed. But the key is not to doubt in our hearts. So let's pick up where we left off. Let's look at verse Let's back up here and look at verse 13, and I want to read all the way down here a little bit, and then we'll give you some new things here tonight. But let me kind of quickly bring you up to where we were. Now, Jesus is teaching a parable. How many of you know what a parable is? Sometimes we say words and, you know, people don't understand what we're talking about. I know we have new people. I know we have new Christians. But a parable is something that lays alongside something natural to something spiritual. In other words, there is the natural and there's the spiritual. The spiritual is real. First the spirit and then something in the natural. So this is the way that Jesus taught. He showed us something that we could relate to in the natural so that we could get revelation from it and see something spiritual. And so what's he going to talk about? He's going to talk about a seed. Now, the reason that this is such an important study and an important word is because Jesus tells us that this is how the kingdom of God works. That's what he tells us right there in the first verse. If we understand how the kingdom of God works, then we can understand how other things work when we read and when we receive from God the things that are in the Bible. But here's something else maybe you don't understand. Not only does it tell us how the kingdom of God works, it tells us how Satan works. All of his tricks, he don't have a new playbook. I said he don't have a new playbook. Now he has a lot of experience because he's been doing it a long time, remember? Satan's been doing this longer than you've been alive. And so he knows how to use his tricks, but he doesn't have any new ones. But everything's right here that he uses. And all of it is designed for one thing, and that's to take the Word of God out of your heart. So let's read again and really, really get an understanding of what Jesus is teaching. He says in verse 14, well, let me back up to verse 13. I didn't read it. He says, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the Word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the Word is sown. Now, when they hear, remember I taught you last week, all of these people heard the word. They said, they hear, but the condition of their heart determines how much of the word becomes productive in their life. How many of you know and believe that the word works? We have to work the word. Faith is not dependent upon God. It's dependent whether we have strong faith or weak faith or no faith or zero faith, it's dependent upon us. It's dependent upon how we receive the word. Now that's what Jesus is teaching right here, because he says these are the ones by the wayside, talking about those shallow Christians that don't have any depth in their heart, okay? He says where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. It sounds good for a time. But how many know if you plant seed on some gravel or on some rock, it's not going to have very deep roots. And so Jesus taught that we're going to build our foundation either on shifting sand or we're going to build it on something that's solid so that when the storms of life come, when the winds of adversity blow, it cannot knock us off of our faith in God. Amen. How many of you ever had some strong winds blow in your life? Had some strong adversity come? Well, this is a good parable for you to understand because it says they have no root in themselves and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. That means they become offended, they fall away, they don't want to come, they don't want to hear, they don't want to do. Now, verse 18. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. Notice again, they hear the word. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires of other things enter in and choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Now, let me cover these things real quickly, and then we'll pick up some new things. It tells us right here that Jesus is the sower of the word. Tonight, the word is being sown in your heart. The word and Jesus are the same. Okay? So it's being sown into your heart. And we sow the word into our heart so we can get the doubt out. Because Jesus said, if we doubt not in our heart, we can speak to our mountains and they will be removed. They have to obey us. Come on. But the word has to be deep in our heart. The deeper the word is, the less doubt that you're going to have. Because you want to be so full of faith that you speak to your mountain one time and you know that you know that you know that it's going to be removed. Amen? Now, there's some benefits. The word has to be deep in our heart. Remember, how do we get the word into our hearts? We've already taught it. How do we get the word in our hearts? We have to be in a place where the word is being sown. You're not going to grow in the Lord. You're not going to grow in the word if the word is not being sown into your heart. Not only do we need to read the word, but we have to understand the word. Not only do we have to understand the word, but we have to meditate on the word, because when we meditate, it's just rooting it further and further into the soil of our heart so that we cannot be moved. We cannot be shaken. Because, you know, you may have heard me say this. A lot of times we don't really fully know what we believe until our faith is tried. Because it's easy to sit in a nice atmosphere like this and say yes and amen and hallelujah and receive that word with gladness. But then walk out there in the reality of the world and here comes the devil. Remember, the devil is just as real as God. Amen? Just like hell is real, and so is heaven. All right. So, there's benefits. In fact, let me just hold your place and look at one more scripture over here, and then I'll come right back in Psalms 119. I want to show you some fringe benefits, okay, of hiding that word in your heart. Now, you may know this, but let's look at it in your Bible. Psalms 119 and verse 11. So we have to do things to get the word in our heart. Amen? People who do not get the word deep into their heart are people that stumble. There are people that fall out of this race. They let things bother them and come to a point where it takes them out of their walk with God. And that's a dangerous place to live in these last days. Can somebody say amen? All right, now look what it says. Psalms 119, verse 11. Let's read this one right quick. It says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word hidden there means to reserve, to protect, to esteem, or to protect it. Remember what we've already talked about? Proverbs tells us that we are to guard our heart or protect our heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life, or the boundaries, or the deliverances, the things that come at us and the things that we allow to come in. We can set up a boundary. We can set up a wall so that the things of the world cannot take us out of faith or take us out of our walk with God. And so it becomes important. So go back over to Mark chapter 4, because people who, and I need to share these things with you, because people who miss it is because they don't have the word deep inside of them. Remember, a lot of times people think, well, you know, if I just go to church Sunday, I mean, listen, if you went to church 3 or 4 times a week, that's still not enough of putting the word in you. Amen. You need to have a daily dose, a daily intake of the word. I'm not concerned about how much you read. Some people want to be speed readers and read a whole bunch. It's not how much you read, it's how much you understand. I mean, if you just read one verse a day, but you can meditate on it and get revelation, that's going to cause that word to get deep in your heart. And so people who backslide, people who get in sin, it's because they're very shallow in the word. There's no depth in their hearts of the word, so things take them out. So the more of the word that you have inside of you, the stronger you're going to be. The more word that you have inside of you, the more holy, or the closer to God you're going to walk. The less word, less victory. Less word, more defeats. Less word, less holy. It works just the opposite. The more word, the more we can have more given to us, more revelation come. All right? Verse 15, back in Mark chapter 4, and we've seen this, and we understand that Satan comes immediately. When you sit in a church service like this, now there's churches that don't give you the word, and so you're not getting, you know, you're not getting anything planted in your heart. Just because you hear a good message or you hear, you know, a good sermon doesn't necessarily equivalent or the equivalent of the word coming into our hearts, okay? A lot of times people, you know, they want to hear preaching, but they don't want to hear teaching. Well, remember, Jesus brought a balance to what he did. There needs to be preaching, but there also needs to be teaching, because that's how we become strong in the Lord, is to be meek. The meek, remember, shall what? Inherit the earth. So the devil wants to steal the word that you receive, the word that you receive in here tonight, the word that you receive on Sunday, and other times when you get in the word. He wants to steal that immediately, because if it takes root and it gets deep down in your heart, then you cannot be moved off of it. And that's the key. That's the key of learning how to sow this word into your heart to become good ground. Now let's look, because there's five things. Now we listed them right here, and you can underline these things in your Bible. And we've already talked about them, but let me just briefly mention them again. Because this is what Satan uses. This is what Satan, the only thing he uses, okay, are these five tools, and they're all designed to take the word of God out of your heart. What's the first one there? The first one is affliction, or you could say tribulation, something that brings test and trouble to our lives, something that gets under your saddle, a burr, something that gets after you to cause you to defocus off of the word of God. And then the next one is persecution. Now, persecution's a little bit different than tribulation, because the tribulation is the pressure or the affliction that comes from tests and trials, where persecution is the test or the trials, the things that come from people. How many have ever had trouble with people? You know, we have to make sure that when we walk with God, we walk in love and we walk in forgiveness. And sometimes it's really tough to forgive those who hurt us. Come on, somebody. It's really tough sometimes. But how many know there's a trial, there's a test. And sometimes people will do you wrong, and it's a great opportunity to get out of faith. It's a great opportunity to get back over in the flesh and become weak in your faith. So you've got persecution. What's the next one there? The cares of the world. Now listen, the cares of the world are the things that cause us to worry, the things that cause us to fear. Now, who you listen to is going to determine whether you have faith in God or faith in the system of the world. Faith comes by hearing, but so does fear. Amen. So it depends on what you feed on the most, whether you're going to have faith in God or you're going to have fear. What you take in daily, who you listen to. How many know it's important who you hang around? If you're hanging around somebody that's all they do is worry all the time, well, first of all, they're in sin. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying Jesus said we are to take no thought for tomorrow. So if I'm worrying, I'm in sin. I'm doing something that Jesus commanded me not to do. I know it's a little hard to do, but see, the more of the word that you have in you, the less you're going to worry. But these are the cares of the world. These are the things that Satan uses to bog you down, to get you weighed down. All these things that he uses, and he'll use people. He'll use your relatives. He'll use those that are close to you. He'll use your husband or your wife. Come on. But we have to remember, when we have these things come at us, something ought to go off on the inside. There ought to be a red flag that goes up and say, hey, here's Mark chapter 4. Right here's an opportunity for me not to fall into the tactics of Satan. Doesn't the Bible say that we are not to be ignorant of his devices? Amen. Now, somebody asked me the other day, you know, after preaching on heaven and preaching on hell, they said, can a person be gradually saved? Well, I know what they were asking. Can a person confess their Christianity but not be gung-ho for the Lord? That's really what they were asking. Well, let me just ask you, you know, can you be half saved? No. Is there any such thing as half saved? I mean, either you are or you're not. But if you are, you're going to be making progress towards God. All of us are working out our salvation. Amen. Every day we're working out our salvation. Amen. And we have to be quick to repent when the Spirit of God shows us things that are not right. But if we love God, remember, we're going to be chasing Him. Amen. If you love something enough, you're going to stick to it. You're going to chase after it. Well, we ought to love God more than we love anything else. Amen. So we ought to be chasing God. So that's what I'm getting at. I know what they're getting at. They're saying, well, can I be lukewarm? Or can I, you know, do what I want to do? Well, we've already determined we can't do what we want to do if we belong to God. Amen. Because we don't belong to ourselves. Amen? And we know what Jesus said in the book of Revelation. He said, I'd have you either hot or cold, but not lukewarm. I don't think lukewarm anything tastes very good. Amen. And Jesus said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Now, I've had people say, what does that mean? Well, I could tell you my opinion, but, you know, I don't want to find out what it means. I'd rather just stay on fire for the Lord. Amen. Come on. I'd rather just stay hot for God and just chase Him and let Him show me, you know, areas of my life that need to be perfected and areas of my life that need to be rooted deeper in this Word, because really that's going to determine how productive we are in the Lord, because the areas that you're weak in are the areas that you need most. So you may be strong in one area of the Word but weak in another. You may be strong in giving and tithe and offering, but you may be very weak in forgiveness because you have trouble with somebody. See, well, that's what you need to hear, because you need to find Scripture, see, that's going to build your faith and get deep in your heart so you can walk in love. Amen. That's a commandment. Amen. I don't know how I got off on all that. So we have the cares of the world, and then we have this last one here, the deceitfulness of riches. Not really the last one, there's five. The deceitfulness of riches. Now, sometimes people get mixed up. You know, money is not deceitful. It's the heart of the one who has money. Money is not evil in itself. What makes money evil is the heart of the person that's in control of it. So I pray that as your heart is good, your money's going to be good. Amen. Amen. And that's the way it should be. Nothing wrong with money, is, again, as long as the money doesn't have you. I believe God wants us to enjoy the fruit of our labor. I believe God designed for us to be increased. We are connected to the covenant of blessing. Amen? Just as we chase God, that covenant of blessing is chasing us. Did you know that covenant of blessing is chasing you tonight? That God is, that's what He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. The angels of God are out there right now moving on your behalf to bring in the treasures that God has laid up for you and me. Amen. We just need to dispatch the angels, amen, because God knows where everything is. And we have been given in the Bible a word that says that everything we need, there's a promise in God for it. And if we can get that promise, then we can release our faith, and it will be done to those that believe in their heart and doubt not. Amen. That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? Okay, so money takes on its own character, but it's dependent upon the one who's holding it. So the word, see, here's another thing. This is why it's deceitful and deceptive. I ain't gonna get very far tonight, I can already tell. Because people start chasing money instead of chasing God. Amen. Now that's foolish. A lot of people can't come to church on Wednesday because what? They're out chasing money. Now I know that sounds real harsh and it doesn't sound real palatable to the listener, but you know, it becomes deceptive Isn't it the Word that brings prosperity to us? Amen. Isn't it the Word that brings healing to us? Amen. Come on, isn't it the Word that brings victory to us? Amen. What good is it going to do to go out there and get a whole lot of money and not have time to spend with God or not have time to spend with your family? A man that goes out and works all the time and does not have any time to spend with his family, I mean, no, that family is going to get torn apart. Because he's chasing after the money because he thinks that's what's going to make them content and that's going to solve their family problems. Now, money, you know, will solve a lot of problems, but it's not the solve all problem. It's better to have it than have not. Amen. Or you could have a woman pushing the man. Amen. Pushing the man so that they can have more. But in the end, the relationship is broken and destroyed because they were chasing the wrong thing. Are y'all listening? So it's the Word, see, in us that's going to bring about the prosperity and the victory and the results that we want. But if we don't have the Word in us, what's going to happen? Our relationships are going to hurt. Our other areas of our life. You know that old saying, diamonds are girls' best friend? But that's a lie. That's a lie of Satan. The Word is a girl's best friend. And so is the man. Come on. Are you with me? Okay, so it's the deceitfulness. And then the last one here is the lust. Or the desires of other things. It means a strong desire for something that is forbidden. You know, the grass always looks greener on the other side. But you get to the other side, you find out it wasn't even grass. It was just painted green. You know, it was just a deception, see. All these things enter in. And we have to learn to be happy where we are. We can always want more. We can always desire more. And we can get more. But we got to be happy where we are when we're there. We got to learn to be content. Amen? So, the same way Satan worked, same way he worked in the Garden of Eden. If we had time, we could look at all that. The lust of the eyes, you know, the pride of life, all these things that he deceived Eve with in the Garden of Eden. So, Satan comes, and what happens? He uses these five things to choke. What does it mean to choke? Well, if you have a garden or you understand the principle there, if the weeds come up in your garden, what's it going to do to the flowers? The weeds always choke out the pretty stuff. Are you here? And so Satan knows how to use these weeds to destroy your garden or your heart. Now, if your heart is not pliable, then you're not going to do what it says here when it comes to saying the 30, the 60, and the 100-fold. Look at verse 20 again. But these things are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now again, the seed is designed to produce. The potential is in the seed. Now, let me just share something else with you quickly without getting bogged down in this. A seed to produce more than one is supernatural. Amen. The natural, if you plant a seed, a watermelon seed, you're going to get a watermelon plant. One plant. One seed, you get one plant. Now, you can get a vine and you can get some watermelons growing and have multiple seeds. But he said that when you become good ground, that's ground that's pliable, that's ground that's in position to grow, to receive, you fallow that ground, you fertilize it, you put the right elements in the soil of your heart, then you're going to produce 30, 60, 100 fold from the seed, which is the Word of God. Now that's supernatural. See, now it's exponentially multiplying. Amen. So we need to understand that principle. Now let's just look at some new stuff here over, you know, the clock again is always our enemy here on Wednesday night. Verse 21, and he also said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. See, God is not holding back on us. The Word is not put into us to be hidden. He's showing you something, again, natural. You don't light a light. Now, they didn't have light bulbs, but they had candles. But you don't get light from the light source by putting a shade over it, by putting a bucket over it. And so the Word is designed by God to go into the human heart, which is the place or the seed or the seat bed of faith, or the source where you and I get our power. That's involved in our faith, where it comes from. Well, he says, if anyone has ears to hear, what? Let him hear. Now, we all know we've got ears. But he's not talking about physical ears. He's talking about listening intently. Now, I've already taught you these things, but faith comes by hearing and what? Okay, the second hearing is what? That intense hearing. To focus on what you're hearing, because a lot of people hear the Word once, but it's not producing any kind of faith because they didn't focus intently on the Word that was being spoken. Now, we're going to see the same thing happen here. The disciples were sitting there and they were shaking their head. Jesus spent all day teaching them what I'm teaching you. We've been doing it for several weeks, but he spent all day teaching the disciples. And when the trial came, he said, you don't have any faith. You know why? Because something came and took their focus, and Satan stole the Word that was sown in their heart. Isn't this great? I mean, we have it right here in front of us, okay? I mean, how can we have to have help to miss this stuff. But what he's saying is, the more Word that I get in my heart, the more he's going to reveal. See, some people wonder why they don't, I just don't see it. I don't get it. You don't get it because you're not putting yourself in position to let the Word get deep in your heart. The deeper the Word gets in your heart, the more revelation that you're going to receive. God speaks to us through His Word. That's the primary way. You don't hear an audible voice and, I'm God. And here's what I'm telling you to do. No, he's going to speak to you, what? Through his Word. Okay? So Jesus said, now look, he said, take heed or intensify the way that you hear, because here's what's going to happen, okay? He said to them, take heed to what you hear. With the same measure that you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Same principle, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. The more of this Word that you can receive, the more that you will be given so that you can receive more. If you're here, say amen now. All right? Because here's what he says. For whoever has to him more, whoever has... to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now there's a truth in this, okay? Because the Word is designed to go into your heart, first of all, to help yourself. But secondly, so that you can help somebody else. There's the principle of God right there. First of all, you've got to get help. But you don't need to stay in a position to get help all your life, do you? Come on, you don't want to stay under an overpass begging all your days here on earth, do you? You've got to get yourself in position to help yourself so that you can help others. That's the principle of the kingdom. Thank you. I know y'all like this. It says, the kingdom of God as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Now he's explaining, okay? And should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. Now, here it is. We are sitting here tonight. You're sitting here, and you're putting the Word of God. Now, you've already seen how Satan can take it out, and you've said, I am not going to let Satan steal the Word out of my heart. Amen. Okay, Now, you don't know how this works, but you know it works. The seed is in your heart. You're going to go to sleep in a little bit, and you're going to rise up in the morning. You're going to do your thing tomorrow. You're going to go to sleep again. You're going to rise up the next day. But the seed is progressive and given time and given the proper conditions of the heart, then the seed is going to produce. I'm going to show you that right here as we read it, because the energy of production is in the seed itself. Amen. I hope I'm not getting too deep for you, but you need to see it. I'm in a hurry. For the earth yields, now look, for the earth yields crops by itself. In other words, that word itself there means that the potential or the power of the seed to regenerate is in itself. We don't know how it does it. All we know is if we put it in the ground, we water it, it gets the right temperature, it gets the sunlight, what happens? It begins to shoot forth. And that's what he says. All for the earth. And the earth really is in reference to your heart, or the soil, okay? The earth, the ground, yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. And when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in a sickle, because, listen, the harvest has to come. The harvest has to come. The word has to work, because God has spoken it. And the Bible says, let God's word forever be settled. Let God be true and every man a liar. I speak to the mountain, I doubt not my heart, and whatsoever things I saith, it will be done. The word has to work. The harvest has to come. We have to get so full of faith that we just respond in faith. We speak the word of faith, and that comes to pass because we don't have any doubt in our hearts. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed. Now, you know, you can get into all the analogy here, but how many know the mustard seed is very, very tiny? You just breathe, you'll blow it out of your hand. When it is sown on the ground, it's smaller than all the seeds on the earth. Sometimes you're sitting here and you know you're about half asleep, but the word is going in. You're sitting here and you're trying to concentrate, but man, there's some things that are going on. But you know, the word is going in. And sometimes it's just a small amount of the word. But you know what? That word is taking root. That word is germinating. That word is going to grow up. That word is going to sprout. And that harvest is going to come to pass. That's why you got to be here. Amen. That's why the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as it is the habit of many. Not just so God can get us in here every day or more often. It's so we can be in position where the word of God is being sown. Because this is how the kingdom works. This is how the principle works. This is not about what she said. Well, this is not about religion, is it? It's about a lifestyle. Some people think because you go to church two or three times a week, you must be very religious. No, I'm in love with the Lord. How many times do you see your husband? How many times do you see your wife? Come on, how many times do you see your children if they're still with you? Do you see them every day? Do you see them as often as you can? Well, we're supposed to love God more than those things. Okay. So, he says, but when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. See, what's the principle here? The principle is the law of progression. Nothing happens instantly unless it's a miracle. You become who you are, what you are, through progression. We see sometime Hollywood, we see these idols, American idols, and Dancing with the Stars. I don't watch this stuff, but maybe you do. And we think, my goodness, but do you realize they just didn't just get up there and be an overnight success? They trained, they rehearsed, they did things for months and even years to get where they are. And so everything takes time. But here's the thing again, is that you're supposed to get to a place where what God puts in you helps you, and now you can help somebody else. Amen. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. There it is again. able to hear it, able to receive it, able to digest it. If your heart is not right, then these words fall on deaf ears. You say, my goodness, what did he say? You don't get nothing out of it. You don't get nothing out of the message. You don't get nothing out of the teaching. It's all the condition of our heart. Jesus said, this is how the whole thing works, folks. If we can get this, we can get everything in the Word of God. He says, but without a parable, he did not speak to them. In other words, everything he showed them was by showing them something in the natural to reveal to them something in the spiritual. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Now, how many know it'd be a pretty good idea to have, good thing to have Jesus explain to you what he's teaching? Amen. Do you believe Jesus was a good teacher? Well, he's a lot better teacher than I am. But look, it says, and on the same day, everybody say the same day. Let's just finish up here real quick. When evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now, who's speaking? Jesus is the Word. So the Word spoke. Faith comes by what? Hearing what? The Word. So Jesus spoke, right? The Word. What did he say? He said what? Let us go across to the other side. Now, how many believe, after what I've taught you already, if Jesus spoke something, it is coming to pass? Okay. Do you think the disciples are stupid? Well, they were here. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. Got big boats and little boats. And a great windstorm, let's say a big windstorm, arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Now, how many know when the waves are so big that it starts filling your boat, you got a potential problem? If you've ever been in the water and had that kind of waves and wind, it's not a real easy experience. But he was in the stern. Everybody say he was in the back of the boat. What was he doing? Can you imagine that? With the wind raging and a storm going on. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we perish? Can you see that? The storm is raging, the boat's rocking, waves are filling the boat, and they say, Jesus, don't you care? We're about to die out here. Amen. Now, Jesus already spoke what was going to happen. Amen. They should have went to sleep and stayed asleep. Amen? But what happened? The same day, they heard all this teaching not to let the cares of the world enter in and choke the Word. What happened? The cares came in. They got their eyes off of what the Word says. What does Satan do? See, the only tool he uses is something to defocus. Amen. What does focus mean? It means we give our earnest attention. We zero in on it. That's why we've got to be diligent. That's why we've got to hear the Word. They said, Master, don't you care that we perish? Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Now he would have expected one of them, Peter, James, or John, to stand up in the boat because they'd heard this teaching all day, see the wind that was about to overflow and the waves that were about to come in and fill their boat, stand up and say the very same thing. Because we can speak to our mountains, amen? If we don't doubt in our heart, but obviously they let doubt enter their heart because they were caught up in the cares, the concern. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now all this all day long teaching Jesus did not produce faith in their hearts. Do you see how easy it is to come and sit in church and, oh, that's good, and walk out of here, and when you face a trial, because Satan's going to come, how quick? How quick? To do what? To steal the word. Okay. Are you ready? Now, it says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly great and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? And all Jesus wanted them to do was to stand up in the boat and do what he'd already said to do, to rebuke it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? I said, isn't the Lord good? Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on, everybody, just stand up. Just stand up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now look, let's just lift our hands tonight and let's give God thanks for the word. You know, I ask God to make the word clear, make it easy for us to understand. And so we need to thank God. Amen. If the word, if he puts preeminence on the word, then we should put preeminence on the word. Amen. Amen. And we should thank God for the word that we receive. Amen. Not just because I'm preaching, but because it's the word of God. Amen. We're just reading right out of the Bible. Amen. And this is more valuable. It's so precious to us. It doesn't make us shout and swing from the chandeliers. And, you know, I can preach like I can get up here and sweat and holler and, you know, just have, we can have a great hallelujah time. But we've got to balance it out, because I don't want you to go out there tomorrow, the next day, or next week, or next month, and Satan take you out. So lift your hand right now and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the word of God. I believe tonight that my heart is good ground, and that the word that I've received tonight, Sunday morning, other services, when I read, when I meditate, I believe that they're going to remove all doubt, that faith will arise and my enemies will be scattered. I can speak to the mountains and they will be removed. I believe the word of God. It's working mightily in my heart right now. And my harvest, don't get weak on me and say my harvest will come to pass. Because it's a law. The law of sowing and reaping. So the word has been sown, so I will reap. In Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Hallelujah. Now just bow your heads before I pray with you. Let me give opportunity tonight. If there's anybody in here that you've never made a profession of your faith. Now we don't say these things to get you to join a church. We say these things to get you to be a part of the kingdom of God. When you cease to live in this life, you take your last breath, you'll go to one place or the other. If you've made Jesus the Lord of your life and you follow and chase Jesus, then you'll go to heaven. If you don't, you won't. It's as simple as that. There's no in between. It's either heaven or it's hell. It's either Jesus or it's the devil. There is no in between. And you can't make that choice once you take your last breath. It has to be made. Now, the danger of that is, how do we know when we're going to take our last breath? We don't know, do we? So we got to be right, and we got to be ready for whenever that time comes, because the Bible says once it's appointed a man to die, and then comes the judgment, right? So if we could live like the devil, live like the world, and knew that we were going to die at a certain hour and a certain time and a certain year, then we could just live it up real big, couldn't we? Wait till that last few minutes. But that's not the way a Christian does. That's not the way somebody that loves God lives. So if you're here tonight and you've never received Jesus into your heart, you want us to pray for you, lift your hand right now anywhere in the room. Let me pray before we go home. I'm fixing to leave here in just a minute. But I don't want to leave unless somebody needs the Lord in their heart. Know tonight that your sins have been forgiven. Know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We talked about that on Sunday. Anybody in here? Lift your hand high if you want us to pray. Okay. Everybody here know that you're saved? Everybody know that you're going to go to heaven? Your sins are forgiven? Okay. All right. Well, Father, I thank you tonight again for all these precious people. I thank you, Lord, that they have received tonight the engrafted word that's more than able to save their soul. I ask God that the same word now would protect them. Watch over that word, Lord, that they don't just be a hearer of it, but they would be a doer. And God, that we would just ask that your angels now would surround about us, protect us, Lord, wherever we go. Lord, we thank you for that divine hedge. And we thank you, Lord, for your covenant of blessing that is upon our life. So in Jesus' name, we give you the honor and we give you the glory for it. And everybody said amen and amen. All righty. God bless you. God bless you.